Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome back to Your World Today. As I said, my name is Anisa Isak and I am sitting in for Mufti Yusuf Musaji. And we are talking now to Gordon Duff, who is the editor of Veterans Today. He's all the way in Ohio in America. And as I said at the beginning of our show this afternoon, we are talking 9/11, which marks, tomorrow marks the 20th anniversary. Now, regarding 9/11, there have been lots of conspiracy theories, there have been lots of talks, there's been lots of investigations over the last 20 years, but Gordon has an interesting story to tell us. Now, this is something that I'm sure that many of us want to listen to. And Gordon, welcome to the show.
Well, it's always good to be on Radio Islam.
Well, thank you for being with us this afternoon. And tell us, you have an interesting tale to tell on the 911 or 9/11 official story. Is it a cover-up of epic proportions?
It's almost beyond that, if anything. Mm-hmm. It's proof that we live in a world that's very much like a Matrix film, and where there's a level of reality that is layers below even the conspiracy theories. Conspiracy theories themselves, more often than not, are fabricated by the same people who perform acts of state terrorism. And 9/11 was, I would call it super state terrorism. It was an attack on the entire world, certainly on the Islamic world and the United States, by a criminal group we typically call the Kosher Nostra. Out of not having a term for something that large and that old, but the world does have it's not even a secret government. It's something far beyond that that controls banking, oil, military, all of the news media, mm-hmm. certainly. And it lives on all of us as though it were a giant leech, but it's been around for well over 1,000 years. There are signs of the birth of the Kosher Nostra in the Roman Empire, and even in Babylon. Evil has been around that long. As for the story here, and it's funny you know that we'd have this right now, because I'm on another line right now with former Soviet nuclear investigator and the first real 9/11 investigator, Dmitry Kalazov, is on another with me right now and hearing this. And he brought a story to me some 12, 13 years ago that nuclear weapons were used to destroy the three towers that went down on 9/11. And that he was told that by the Russian government, that he worked as an investigator for the 12th Directorate, which investigates the illegal use of nuclear weapons. Mm-hmm. And they were told it was nuclear weapons. My story begins with something beyond conspiracy theory. May 4th, 2014, I received the FBI file on a secret investigation that was never published, that was quashed, on 9/11. An investigation that began in 1990. This group of investigators from the CIA, the International Atomic Energy Agency, FBI, and other agencies were investigating the thefts of nuclear pits, the found plutonium and uranium cores that are used for nuclear weapons. The U.S. had been taking these things apart for both the Soviet Union, Russia, Ukraine, and for themselves during the disarmament from the START treaties. Nuclear inventories were cut down. The weapons were shipped to Texas from all over the world. And they were taken apart. Those pits would stay radioactive and extremely valuable. They can be ground into fuel or remanufactured into nuclear weapons, were put on storage shelves, carefully matched by specific characteristics, and stored by the U.S. government. These facilities called Pantex, Amarillo, Texas. Well, this story started that early, that 350 of those pits had been stolen in the 1990s. and remanufactured. They've been removed to a special facility in an iron mine in Mali. I was sent photographs of a plane that crashed on the desert in the Sahara carrying nuclear pits, shown photographs of these, which we published, including with Jeff Smith, an IAEA investigator who took the photos and who has nicely put in a number of the photos as well. They're like selfies, early selfies. Yes. And I contacted Smith and brought him on at Veterans Today and sent him these materials. And he said, yes, it's a real investigation. I worked on it. And the second part of the investigation involved Fort Lee, New Jersey, a safe house with the FBI, watching Israeli art students, dozens of them, not three dancing Israelis, but Israeli art students who smuggled nuclear weapons into the Teterboro Airport, put them in moving vans, stored them for a while in an Israeli consulate in New York, and then placed them under the buildings where they were detonated. Now, the members of this team were an FBI agent who was fired from the FBI after the FBI tried to have him killed. That lawsuit is on the books. A CIA agent who was murdered in Houston, Texas. A White House official whose body was found in a garbage dump in the state of Delaware. The last surviving member of the primary team is our guy. Jeff Smith, who's a particle physicist and former nuclear weapons designer, currently with the International Atomic Energy Agency, but at the time with the United States Department of Energy at Los Alamos, working on nuclear weapons projects. And we brought Jeff on and had him review pages and pages of material describing how these people were watched. We have photographs of the house where the FBI sat photographing them. The FBI watched them bring the bombs in, watched them place the bombs, and watched them go off. I can't imagine this.
Wow.
And we have all of the documentation, and much of the documentation was investigative materials done by nuclear physicists working for the U.S. government, who investigated the radiation signatures from the buildings and why thousands of first responders died of exposure, as they're saying today, and articles are all over about dead first responders who died from being exposed to wallboard. That it's all, that gypsum is secretly radioactive and killing people, like in the Beirut situation. And by 2005, 9,000 first responders and others in central New York had died of multiple myeloma, which was the disease that killed many of the survivors of both Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Mm-hmm. And it's the only cause of multiple myeloma is exposure to extremely high doses of ionizing radiation. Probably about 3 years ago, a group of European physicists headed by a guy named Palmer published a detailed paper, and we had not been in contact with them, but examining 9/11 and finding that it could have only been caused by nuclear weapons, that of the steel in the facilities, almost 500,000 tons per building, five aircraft carriers per building, 10 super carriers would have been able to be built out of the steel.
Yes.
That 95% of the steel dustified, vaporized, left in little tiny balls all over Manhattan, where some people were claiming it was a magic thermite compound or that a secret spaceship flew over. And this is what too many of the truther people go to very quickly, that it was a spaceship with a weapon, like in the film Independence Day.
Okay, yes.
Many years ago. Simply put, and as we looked into this more and more and met with more nuclear investigators from the IAEA who came forward, they told us that the U.S. has been using small nuclear weapons, some that produce almost no radiation, almost continually, and that terror organizations have had nuclear weapons for years because those 350 nuclear pits that were stolen from the U.S. by Israel and South Africa, many were sold on the open market, many got into the hands of terrorists, some went to North Korea, who didn't make their own nuclear weapons, but were used in Bali, the Khobar Towers, other explosions, that the U.S. has used nuclear weapons several times in Afghanistan. They've been used in Iraq. We know for absolute certain that a nuclear weapon was used against Beirut, and I find it extremely humorous, the stories that ammonium nitrate in a warehouse blew up the entire city. Mm-hmm. Ammonium nitrate's a lawn fertilizer. You can buy it anywhere, mm-hmm. wherever you are around the world. It's a white powder. Put a match to it. It'll put out a match. It can be used to make explosives. But no, we call it the cake mix scenario. This is part of the cover-up, but it's an important thing to understand that because they were able to get away with 9/11 blowing up Beirut was simple. Claim after we published information we got from Lebanon's defense ministry. That's who informed us it was a nuclear event. We didn't get it over the internet. The defense minister called me at home within an hour. We had very direct information that you can't make a fertilizer bomb and blow a 500-foot-wide hole 60 feet deep in solid rock mm-hmm. by burning fertilizer. And the idea of the fertilizer bomb is an interesting one. You can make weapons using fertilizer and fuel oil and aluminum and other things carefully mixed, carefully stored in specific sizes with blocks of TNT on the side. And then you can drill deep holes into the ground, place tons and tons and tons of this in deep holes, and then set them off with a complex set of time detonations. And you could have duplicated this with an entire shipload of explosives, but you can do it with fertilizer in a warehouse where nearby there was maybe some fuel oil and some firecrackers a mile away. We call it the cake mix scenario.
Yes.
Like cakes, you put it in the shelf, you have milk in the refrigerator, a couple of eggs. But if you don't mix them together and bake them, it's not going to be a cake.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been looking at more and more explosions where there are claims like in Yemen or outside Damascus in 2013 where the Israelis claimed one of their rockets or a Saudi plane hit a fertilizer factory or a missile plant. And we find after having the videos looked at by nuclear investigators, official nuclear investigators, they tell us that the videos show scintillation. Proton bombardment on the LCD cameras, mm-hmm. which is caused by nuclear weapons. The issue is a very simple one, that we turn out so much nuclear fuel, high-grade nuclear fuel, high enough to make bombs out of. And over the past 70 years, we've learned to make bombs no bigger than that, that produce almost no radiation. If you burn all your fuel effectively with the right set of reflectors and tampers on your nuclear weapon, they produce only a second or two of radiation and it's gone. And we use nuclear explosives now for fracking for oil. They don't tell people. We use them inside the U.S. It's how we find oil deposits hidden in the substrata. They need massive explosions. TNT is too expensive. Nuclear weapons, small nuclear weapons cost under $100,000 now. They're dirt cheap. They aren't $100 million. They cost nothing. And frankly, pretty much anyone can make one.
Mm-hmm. So we're looking at, you know, from what you've just told us, and we're looking at this, and we also noticed that a lot of the documentaries on the alternate stories that have come through with regards to just what you're speaking about are disappearing off the internet. Why so? Why would anybody want to take that? Is it pointing to, you know, the conspiracies being correct?
Well, the conspiracy theorists that took over many of the 9/11 organizations, the investigative organizations, we've investigated many of them. And as it turns out, the 9/11 truth organizations are to a large extent controlled or influenced or at least steered by the people responsible for 9/11. As close as we can come, that would be Saudi intelligence with Mohammed Atta, Israeli intelligence, a group within the United States headed by Rumsfeld, Cheney, and the neocons, and a cabal of international bankers and people who, well, the Latin term is cui bono, who benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And 9/11 opened the world up, 20 years of war against Israel's enemies, wars that strengthen the ties between the Saudi royal families and their close friends among the Likudists in Israel and the European bankers that they love so much. It declared war on the Ba'athist leaders, the anti-Freemason leaders, and this is a complex issue that only people in the Middle East will really understand the power of Freemasonry. Mm-hmm. And how it was used to establish the Young Turks, how it created a substrata of extremist organizations across the Middle East. And that history is not taught. U.S. intelligence agencies, who I train and lecture for periodically, show an amazing real ignorance as to the history of political relationships in the Middle East. But 9/11 didn't make just billions, it made trillions of dollars. The first thing the United States did was move into Afghanistan,
mm-hmm.
build a narco state that created endless billions of dark money to fund political takeovers around the world. Afghanistan produced, under the Taliban, almost no opium. 3 years later, it was producing 95% of the world's processed heroin. And it was being blown around. The U.S. was reporting that the Taliban was flying heroin around the world on planes taking off from American air bases. I have trouble with stories like this.
Yeah.
And they make fun of conspiracy theory people.
Mm-hmm.
With conspiracy theories, generally the strangest ones come out of Washington. The key thing to understand in any issue is that the initial conspiracy theories now that are released are always part of the initial plan. They call it an intelligence. It's called cover and deception. If you're going to stage an act of what we call false flag terrorism, the first thing you do is set up someone else to blame. Al-Qaeda, ISIS, somebody.
Yes.
They're all organizations that many of us are coming to understand were always part of the Central Intelligence Agency. Still are to this day. And we're worried about the Taliban and ISIS. How did ISIS get from Syria to Afghanistan?
Afghanistan, yeah.
Yeah, do you think they walked across Iran? You know, I wouldn't try walking across Iran. Chances are they'd get caught. Were they flown in American aircraft, C-130s, from their camps in Hasaka and Altan? Absolutely.
So,
were they supplied? Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. So if we look at what you just said about Afghanistan and America, you know, the amount of heroin being produced, basically, whether the Taliban had handed Osama bin Laden over to America or not, they would still have invaded.
Well, you know, there's a variety of conspiracy theory stories here. One of the people who came to me with a conspiracy theory story was a man named Lee Wanta. Lee Wanta was presidential intelligence chief under Reagan for a number of years and worked in the White House. Wanta told me that on 9/11, Osama bin Laden was at the Bethesda Naval Medical Center just outside Washington, Bethesda, Maryland, receiving kidney dialysis. And that when bin Laden wasn't there, he stayed in rooms he had at the Metropolitan Club in Washington under the name Colonel Timothy Osman. And that not that long before 9/11, Osama bin Laden had been at a meeting with attorneys for the Bush family and his, according to Wanta, his extremely close friend, bin Laden's nearly best friend, a man named Oliver North. Wanta told me that when bin Laden flew into the country, he landed in Ontario, California, and that both Wanta and North were there when bin Laden got off the plane. That bin Laden, who went to Oxford and speaks perfect English, or spoke English before he died. And we were told this. I reviewed bin Laden's files with General Pasha, then Director General of Pakistan's ISI. And in 2009, I traveled to Rawalpindi. And the Pakistani government was there with current Prime Minister Imran Khan as well, reviewing the files on bin Laden, and was told that he died inside Afghanistan. Now, the question being is, how did Osama bin Laden get from Washington to Sudan to how do people move around the world so freely? And we asked this question, how do famous terrorists move around on commercial aircraft so freely? Yeah. Like the ISIS members who come from Indonesia and Malaya and end up crossing into Jordan or in from Israel into Syria. How do you get there? How did 200,000 ISIS members get to Turkey from the Caucasus, and some of them from Mindanao in the Philippines? Yeah. Did they row there in little canoes? Did they hollow out logs and take that 9,000-mile trip living on tiny squid and drinking their own urine, you know? I mean, this is, they get on airlines and fly, and, you know, you have to try it. Try getting out of
days. Well, what about the fact that, or do you think it would be possible that the U.S. may create another 9/11 scenario to further their other interests in maybe in a different region?
You know, it's hard to define. When you speak of nations, the U.S., the U.S. is almost a series of cabals. Back in the 80s, this is we were investigating within the U.S. military. There was a child sex ring begun by a satanic church that recruited among the highest ranking generals of the U.S. military. This is a fairly publicly known issue here. Started in 1982 at the Presidio. A number of very high-ranking generals were involved. And during these investigations that went on for the next decade, we found that the American Service Academies, the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs, Annapolis, and West Point, had not just religious extremists on staff, but people who belonged to dark cults, what we would call the satanic cults, literally satanic cults, and recruited blindly among the U.S. military, and that those recruits eventually controlled the American nuclear arsenal. Many of these people were investigated and removed in 2010 and 2011 by then U.S. Defense Minister, or we call him Defense Secretary, Chuck Hagel, removed all of these people from their nuclear command and control facilities and shut down all nuclear command and control for the U.S. Air Force. The entire organization of the Air Force was considered unreliable. We talk about 9/11. We had a newly appointed chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff who we believe was one of the people who actually planned 9/11. Planned by a chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and that the people who planned 9/11 also, and the invasions of Iraq and Afghanistan, and helped create ISIS and unleash ISIS on both Iraq and Syria, that these people are still to a significant extent in control in the United States. They're also the same people who tried to stage a takeover of the U.S. government on January 6th this year. They are all still there. And their partnerships and friends stretch to the United Arab Emirates, to Saudi Arabia, into Israel, into Hungary, but even far closer ties to the Republic of Georgia, Azerbaijan, Romania, mm-hmm. and especially Ukraine. And this go ahead.
Sorry to cut you off, but we don't have much time. So in other words, what you are saying to us, even though America has withdrawn from Afghanistan, the war on terror hasn't really ended. This is going to be ongoing no matter, unless this Hydra network is actually destroyed.
Well, the war on terror, the terrorism itself, you know, you'd have to study the history of terrorism. Back in the late 1970s, when the U.S. was prepared to fight a world war over Europe with the Soviet Union, the U.S. created terrorist organizations under what they called Operation Gladio. They went into Europe. They recruited among Freemason extremists out of Switzerland and Italy, organizations which later became Black September, the Red Brigades. And these groups were going to fight against the Soviet Union if they took over Europe. Well, the Soviet Union never took over Europe, but those American-formed organizations began blowing up train stations. They kidnapped and murdered Italian Prime Minister Aldo Moro, and for 20 years, they set off bombs across Europe, but also Latin America and elsewhere. They became a massive terror organization, all with NATO money, NATO training, and all set up to be anti-communist Freemasons. And they led to the formation of Al-Qaeda. It came from Gladio. ISIS came from Gladio. And all of the terror organizations that the U.S. and its allies have been fighting against all found their birth in Operation Gladio, formed by NATO, the CIA, MI6, and other similar organizations. And are they rogue organizations, or is, as many suspect, MI6, the Mossad's, RAW in India, and other similar groups, are all intelligence organizations really fronts for world organized crime? And that's what I believe.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, Gordon, thank you so much for your time. We've had quite an interesting conversation, and I wish we had more time to talk about it, because I suppose, you know, there's so much, like you said, there's so many investigations, so many stories, and so much of information to go through, and not everybody knows. You've had the privilege of finding out a lot more than the layman out there, but thank you for sharing your time with us, and sharing this with us as well gives us more of an insight into 9/11. All the best. Thank you.
It's always a pleasure.
Right, bye-bye.